Hi, it's Don Fluckinger at the CEC 2017 conference in Orlando. I'm here with Volker Hildebrand, Global Vice President of Customer Engagement and Commerce for SAP Hybris. Volker delivered a keynote yesterday, and thanks for joining us today.
Don, thanks for having me.
So you brought up some interesting points in your keynote, and I'd like to dig a little bit deeper in that.
Sure.
Yeah, the first very interesting point you made, and politics aside, about our new president, you made the point that he does a very good job of using social media to reach out to his constituents or his customers, if you were. And why is it so easy for him, but so difficult for many companies to engage with their customers on social media?
Well, first of all, I think I said it the other way around, that he's, and I don't know if he's really doing a good job with all of his tweets. But the point I try to make is that a lot of us are listening via social media what the president has to say, but at the same time, we're not listening to what our customers have to say on social media. And so the question really is, why aren't companies listening to what their customers have to say? Now, the technology to engage with your customers or prospects via social media has been available for quite some time. And while Twitter may not necessarily be the right channel and may not be the right channel to promote products, it could be something else. It could be Facebook. And don't just think about it as a marketing channel. We're talking about customer engagement, where the lines between marketing, sales, and service are blurring, and simply understanding what your customers think about your products or your services is very important in two ways. One, it tells you a lot about your products, and maybe there's room for improvement, things they don't like, things they like. That's very important to understand. And the other aspect is, it is indeed a way to engage and interact directly with the customer on a one-on-one basis. For some companies, it's really interesting. Twitter has almost become like a service escalation path. If you get a problem with, I don't know, your airline or whatever, you had a bad experience with the company, and then many times you call them, you're on hold, or even if you get through, nothing really happens. But the minute you start tweeting about your bad experience, because some companies do listen, they actually react. And you get their attention because they're concerned that, whoa, this is not only us listening to this individual, he had a bad experience, but he's basically sharing this experience with a much wider audience. And that's the challenge with social media.
And why aren't companies investing in this? So you're saying they have the capacity to do it, but how come they have not sort of invested in the bandwidth to address it?
Well, there's multiple reasons for it. Some companies have, maybe other priorities. They don't necessarily see it as an important engagement channel. And there are limitations, and I'm not saying every company needs to tweet back and forth with their customers, because there are a lot of other social media channels. But you really need to look at it from, at the end of the day, it's about your customers. And if you want to be customer focused, you got to be where your customers are, and they're on social media, right? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to bombard them with marketing promotions on their Facebook page, because that can also become very annoying, especially if it's irrelevant content. And I think the challenge is for a lot of organizations that they don't exactly know what to do. One example, a lot of marketing organizations, those are typically the first ones who are thinking about social media. Oh, we can reach our customers. We can send them, you know, product promotions, special offers, and we can reach customers through these channels in addition to other channels. Now, what happens is marketing starts sending out their tweets, here's a new product, or here's a special offer. But then customers turn what was supposed to be a marketing channel into a service channel, because these channels are interactive, and that's the nice thing about digital channels. It allows you to have a conversation, if you will, that goes back and forth. It's not a one-way street. And then so you're sending out the promotions. Next thing you know is you're getting all these tweets, customers complaining about different things. Now, what are you going to do? You're going to call the head of customer service and tell him, hey, we're getting all these tweets that are, you know, you guys need to take care of that. And the head of customer service tells the CMO, well, you started it. It's not my problem. So it's not just a marketing thing or just a service thing. You need to look at it holistically, and then it's not enough to have a marketing solution that supports blasting out those tweets. You also need to figure out, okay, what am I going to do with my contact center or customer engagement center? Now I need to enable that from a technology perspective as well as from a customer service representative perspective. I need to enable them to receive those incoming tweets or whatever it is, do a sentiment analysis, route it to the right customer service rep. If it is a service-related post or tweet or message, it could be something positive. Somebody just says, I just bought this product and it's great, right? No need for a customer service rep to respond. So I think it's not that easy.
Right. Well, you talked about a few ways of using the marriage of sales and service data. What are some other ways SAP customers are using it to their advantage?
Yeah, I think coming back to what I said earlier, when it's about customer engagement or CRM, you need to put the customer first, and customers don't care about marketing or service or sales. They don't care. They don't care about channels either. They don't even think in channels. In fact, a lot of people they just think about their mobile device, and I can do emails. I can send text messages. From a company perspective, email, text messages are two different channels. Not for the consumer. It's just this single point of access or touch point for them. But as an organization now, you need to bring all these channels together, which means you need to have an omni-channel customer engagement approach, which becomes even more complicated as we see the continued proliferation of interaction channels. And you need to have this 360-degree view of the customer or single view of the customer across all of these channels, but also across your own departments, right? Marketing has some data about the customer. Sales has data about the customer. Service has data about the customer. And you really need to bring this together in order to understand what we today call the customer journey, so that you know how to engage a particular customer in the moment when it matters to them, not when it fits into your kind of internal processes. So just to give you an example, even in a traditional kind of sales situation, you have sales reps out in the field visiting customers. it is very important for them to have information about the service history of this customer, as an example. There might have been a problem that just occurred yesterday or literally maybe an hour before you walk in. Before you try to sell more to this customer, you may want to understand that he might not be in a good mood because he's got a big problem right now, or because product delivery was delayed, or other things, right? Something was wrong with his bill. So you want to have, so you're a sales rep, but you need information that's coming from the service department. You need information that's coming from your ERP backend in order to have this complete view of the customer.
We've seen and heard a lot of hype around the Internet of Things and how, you know, these sensors connected to the internet can help CRM efforts for some companies. Yep. And you and a couple of your colleagues yesterday talked about some of these. Where are these being used in real life?
So one example in customer service and field service is in the area of what we call predictive maintenance. So if you have a manufacturer of machines, for example, or it could be a dishwasher too in a B2C scenario. If you have sensors that basically give you information about temperature, other things, level of vibration, and how well the machine's operating, and then you also get information about when certain maintenance happen, or replacement of a filter or whatever, change oil, all these things. Think about your car as well. And then you take in all this information from thousands of sensors, you get a very good idea of when things tend to break down. And it may actually tell you that, you know, it might actually make a lot more sense to not wait with the replacement of a filter, as an example, until the scheduled maintenance, which is after, talking about a car, 15,000 miles, right, or 10,000 operating hours. But you should actually, because a lot of these break down after 9,000. So maybe we should proactively go out to our customers who have this particular model where this tends to happen, and proactively go in there after 8,000 or 7,000 operating hours and avoid these service incidents or failures. And you're actually killing two birds with one stone. You make your customers happy because nothing happens, right? And you're reducing cost of customer service at the same time, right?
Right. So, and these are all great ideas, you know, monitoring and responding to social media wherever your customers are, marrying sales data and service data to embellish your sales efforts. And of course, the Internet of Things, sensors will be able to do a lot of things in 5 to 10 years. And some of your customers are using them now. But how does a company figure out what's right for them? Because most companies are not billion-dollar manufacturing concerns who have the opportunity to experiment with things like this, right?
Right. Well, first of all, a lot of these solutions today are available in the cloud. So it doesn't necessarily mean you need to make a huge upfront investment. You pay as you go. You can think big and start small and then expand. Also, even on the sensor side, the cost of sensors have gone down dramatically, and that's one of the reasons that we find them everywhere. If you want to figure out which technology is right for me, I think again you need to start with what are your customers' expectations, what are your customers' needs. If you're in a B2B manufacturer and your customers are very traditional and you know, maybe the only thing they go is LinkedIn, you may not need a social media strategy as such for direct customer engagement. You may want to use it for PR activities or other things to reach a broader audience. So it really starts with understanding the customers and then also looking at your own business processes to understand whether or not a certain technology is relevant. If there's nothing to repair and you don't need a field service organization. So field service and then leveraging sensors for that may not be applicable because you don't send out people to fix things. You may not even have those products, or it's completely outsourced. But then you may want to think about other things. Well, what if I use the sensors, maybe not for service, but to better understand how my customers are using my products and maybe which parts they're using and which parts they're not using. This can give you important information about how you may want to segment your customers in the future. It may give you new product ideas. It may help you come up with new pricing strategy for those different market segments. So it's, I think the challenge really is there's technology and there's so many things you can do with it. So starting with the basics, understanding customer needs and expectations is one thing. The other thing is simply looking at what's happening in your industry and also what's happening in other industries. Because many times certain technologies find early adoption in industries outside of your own industry, but the use case then is applicable or transferable to what you are doing. So there's not really an easy answer to tell someone, you know, you got to start here or there, but there are understanding your customers, analyzing your business processes, and understanding the potential of the technologies, that's the starting point.
Well, and probably you bring up a really good point. I think analyzing your own processes is probably the first thing to do, because the last thing you want to do is digitize or automate bad processes.
No, absolutely. And many times you'll find out about broken processes by listening to your customers, because they feel the pain. And you know, in most cases, your customers aren't stupid, and they can recognize a broken system or a broken process if they see it. The question is, what are you doing about it? You know, take Uber for an example. Why was Uber successful in certain areas? It was because of the flaws of the existing system, right? The existing cab system, not enough cabs, and when you need it, inconvenience, you have to go down the road and kind of wave until you get someone. You have no idea how much it's going to cost you. And then somebody came in and said, okay, we're just going to simplify that whole thing. And that was key to their success. Now, I'm not saying there's going to be an Uber in every industry, but you really got to think about, okay, what's broken in our system? A lot of organizations are looking at their business processes with an inside out approach. But what you really need is you need that outside in view. So just ask your customer. They're going to tell you what's wrong with, or what's great for that matter.
Well, that's great advice. Thanks a lot for your time today.
All right. My pleasure, Don.